Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Joining us right now, he's a Net. He's not a Celtic. He's a Net. And that's Brian Scalabrine.
He's a Celtic now.
Well, he's a Celtic now. Yeah. But I still think he's a Net.
You know how that works. Once that green gets on you, it's all over.
Then this championship and all that stuff.
The Celtics.
I think you guys are talking about the wrong kind of green. That's like you're talking about the green you wear. It's not that. I cover the seas, so it's the green that lines my pocket.
We get that.
That makes sense.
I get it. That does make sense.
Makes
Brian.
A lot of sense. Brian Scalabrine's got a new podcast on radio.com. It's called Big Time Basketball. Obviously covers the Celtics throughout the year. How you feeling about the Celtics right now? Because they had a weird year, too. They were like the opposite of what we were just talking about with the Islanders, where the expectations were this is the best team in the East. This is the team to beat. They had a very uneven regular season. And then all of a sudden, the playoffs come around, and they've kind of looked more like the team we expected at the beginning of the year.
Well, here's the thing, and this is why I'm a little bit concerned. But when the Celtics were losing games in the regular season, and I get it. You could probably say this about a lot of teams. They would have like a bad 4 minutes. And during that 4 minutes, the team would go 16-2 on them. And that was concerning for me. In game two against Milwaukee, they go 28-2. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. And 28-2 is you should never happen in an NBA playoff game when you're completely prepared to play the other team. You know exactly what they want to do. How does something like that happen? So them giving that up is a little concerning because the Bucks, that's what they do. And all they have to do is have a good 3 minutes where the Celtics can dominate, 45 minutes of the game. But if the Bucks have a good 3 minutes, the Bucks are going to win that game. So I do think the Celtics are going to win, but I'm a little concerned about a 28-2 run in the playoffs.
Yeah, but you got to be happy that they split the two games in Milwaukee. I mean, you would have said, you know what, I'll take that going into this series, Brian, right or wrong?
Sure, but you're looking, that's 30,000-foot view, right? I want to look at it like this. If they, let's just say they lost two games and they played really well, I wouldn't be as down.
Really?
I'm just a little bit down on the no contest of a 28-2 run. I don't understand how that happens in the NBA playoffs. I've been a part of a lot of playoff teams and good teams. I can't wrap my mind around 28-2 and how something like that happens.
And it felt, and I trust me, I know, and I'm a Net fan, so I'm coming from that view, that the Nets are not the Celtics, the Bucks are not the Sixers. Everybody's different, but it felt similar to the first two games in Philly where the Nets won game one, and they were in game two. I mean, they're down a point at the half, and you're thinking, oh, my God, they could steal these two games. And that's the way I felt at the end of the half in game two in Milwaukee. And then it was really how that third quarter started where they stepped on your throat, and that was pretty much it. And it was similar. It was a 21-1 run in the Net game, and you mentioned the run that happened in the Milwaukee game in game two.
Yeah, I think, very similar and from this standpoint. Like, Philadelphia's physicality just overwhelmed the Nets. Like, that's a hard thing to make up. When you can make the extra pass and you can play the right way, but when a guy's bigger, faster, stronger than you, and you see that separation, that's a big concern. Now, for the Celtics, I think the gap's a little bit closer as far as the physicality.
Oh, yeah.
But during that run, it looked like the Sixers against the Nets. It looked like Milwaukee just physically manhandled the Celtics, and they got wherever they wanted. They got to the basket, and bodies were in. The Celtics looked a little bit they were flat-footed out there. So very similar when you're looking at those runs. But I'm just going to say right now in the NBA playoffs, you cannot give up runs like that and expect to win. Now, maybe you do win the game, but, man, those are tough holes to climb out of. And what's the toll it takes on you is going to be sometimes too much to overcome over the course of the series.
Talking to Brian Scalabrine about the Celtics, I look at the Eastern Conference, the four teams left, and really, Brian, I think any of them could come out. I mean, I think it's really that close that I wouldn't be surprised if any one of the four teams playing right now winds up in the East in the championship round.
Very, very much matchup based. I do know that the Philadelphia 76ers cannot beat the Celtics. And I would say if Toronto comes out and Toronto plays to their capability, then that's going to be a tough matchup for the Celtics. But if Milwaukee, I look at them as they would be either one of those two teams. So I think the only way that I can't see Philadelphia coming out and making it to the NBA Finals. That would be the one team that it'd be hard for me to comprehend this team putting it together, Embiid's help and all that stuff, and them getting over the hump.
Are you surprised they're ahead right now of Toronto? You must be then.
So I'm somewhat surprised, but not surprised by Embiid having a good game. I know he's going to have some of those. Now, if he puts together three or four of those in a row, then it's a totally different animal. Because the guy, when he's healthy and playing with swag, which he did last night, then, yeah, I mean, he's like one of the toughest guys in the NBA to stop. The issue with him is, can he sustain that?
Right.
And luckily for him, they blew out Toronto, and he only had to play like 28 minutes.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge help. We're talking to Brian Scalabrine. How about the work Al Horford has done on Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's one of the toughest matchups in this sport right now? Give me your thoughts on what Al's been able to do against Giannis so far.
Yeah, so Giannis in game one was very hard on himself and frustrated about not being able to just physically dominate Al Horford. Al Horford's coming off of 7 days of rest, and you're expecting, like, now you're going at this guy. He felt great. Al Horford played a great game. The issue is, as the series goes along, Giannis will continue to get better because he's getting more experience, and Al Horford will probably continue to decline just because of his age. That's just how it works in these type of series. But so far, so good. I think he's done a really good job. Giannis' biggest thing is, if you're watching him from game one to game two, watch when he's passing the ball. In game one, he's taking these huge steps. He's going into three guys, and he's trying to pass the ball late. Celtics recover the shooters. In game two, Giannis is initially passing the ball early, getting these guys open looks. Then they just make an extra pass and get a wide-open shot. People compare Giannis to LeBron. The biggest difference is LeBron is like a quarterback in the NFL that makes that play deep when that safety takes one step forward. He's making those passes based on the smallest of movements. Giannis is not there yet. If he ever does get there, it's going to be curtains for the NBA. And hopefully he doesn't, because then they will be the best team in the East if he ever can get to the point where he's passing the ball based on other people's small movements.
So is Kyrie Irving on the Celtics next year?
That's a good question. I think it does depend on how this year plays out. But I don't think anybody knows. I don't think anybody knows about Durant or Kyrie. And those guys, they could do, you know, if Celtics have a – let's just say, let's play this out, right? They lose the Bucks, I would probably say a much lesser chance than if they beat the Bucks and go to the NBA Finals. You know, it's just, I think Kawhi Leonard, you can have that conversation with. The only guy that I'm, like, really certain is going to leave is Durant. And that's not 100% certainty.
Right.
Whether they win it all, I feel like he's going to walk no matter what.
And are you hearing the same thing, that it's inevitably comes to the Knicks?
I hear a high percentage that he's coming to the Knicks. I also hear the Clippers are really in play, like really, really in play, that he goes to the Clippers and he really likes that hard-nosed team and they want something different. And he kind of, in a weird way, wants to play against the Warriors and beat them. And, like, I've heard stuff like that. So if any of the two teams, I think those two teams, but don't count out Brooklyn either. I'd be surprised if Brooklyn just ends up with nothing. They've really shown a lot, and
How do you define nothing? Because, you know, Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard are here. I'm pointing very high, and I love Tobias Harris. I think he's a great fit, but, you know, I'm not crazy. Tobias Harris is not Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard. So when you say you'd be surprised if they end up with nothing, how do you define what's nothing? What's something?
I would not consider Tobias Harris is something.
No, I agree with you. So when you say they end up with something, that's who you're probably thinking about. So a guy like that, maybe not Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a big deal.
I'm not phrasing it correctly. I'd be ecstatic about Tobias. I guess I'm clarifying that. Then they may not end up with the max guys of all max guys like Kawhi and Durant. I think they're on a different level.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not there yet.
Yeah, okay.
They're not there yet.
Fair enough.
They get another guy, and then they keep their cap space open. Tobias is there, and then, you know, then it's now instead of chasing two, you chase one. But it's incremental growth. Like the Knicks, they just want to be awful and be really good. Most people can't do that. Maybe I don't even know if the Knicks can't do that. We'll have to see how this thing plays out, but most teams, when they're coming back and building culture, their culture is built by what players see in the playoffs. I just think the Knicks have different rules. I've always thought it was a special place to be and play. Clearly, over the last 20 years, they just have not been able to land a big-time free agent. But I always like think the Lakers are in play, the Knicks are in play, but it's funny that the B teams in both those cities probably they sell culture, but they actually have great culture. Like right now, the Lakers culture is awful, but the Clippers culture is great. Well, Same thing with Brooklyn and New York.
The Nets and the Clippers both are better situations. The Lakers and the Knicks are better because they're the Lakers and the Knicks. Mm. I mean, they are the premier team, name-wise, not success-wise, in the NBA.
Right.
So I think that the Clippers and Nets have that they can sell, but the Lakers and Knicks could just point to their logo and say, we are the premier teams, you know?
Just figure this, and this is coming from a Knicks fan for almost 50 years, okay? I mean, I got pain from the Celtics from years ago, all right? I've seen them all. There he goes. Uh-oh. Is that on purpose that you're doing that?
No, I think that would be great radio stuff, right? Here come the Celtics running over the Knicks.
Yeah. I thought for a second.
I've seen it a few times. I've seen a few times where the Knicks have ran over the Celtics, too. So there's been that as well.
Oh, man, you just dated yourself. What are you, 87 years old?
Close. No, I saw – No, I'm close. No, I've seen them all. I saw Russell, Sam Jones, Casey Jones right on down the line. I don't want to go into it all. I've seen everything you could possibly see. Just remember one thing. The last time the Knicks won a playoff series, they beat the Celtics, although it did not feel like they actually beat them because they almost blew game six when they were up by 30. But nevertheless, with that said, just count on this as a longtime Knicks fan since 1962. Expect the worst. You're never disappointed. They'll wind up with the fifth pick in the draft. Forget number one. They'll wind up with the fifth pick because that's the least they can get. That's the lowest they can go. And they won't get Durant or anybody of that ilk.
Wait, hold on here. You didn't trade away Porzingis.
No, I'm a Knicks fan. Think I expect them to do anything? Come on. What are you kidding
me?
What?
The biggest day. What is that? May 15th
May
14th. Or
May 14th. May 14th.
It's the biggest day.
They'll get the fifth
pick. Everyone,
just remember,
I can
Brian,
only imagine all those churches I walk by when I'm in New York, they're going to be loaded.
Brian, just remember one thing. When the Knicks get the fifth pick in the draft on lottery night, remember you heard it from me, okay?
But what happens when they get number one? It changes everything.
Well, so it does.
It does.
But don't count on it.
Don't count. The Knicks get the number one pick.
You got to take Zion. You got to take him.
Nah, you know what I hear.
You got to take him.
But let me just throw this to you. If the Knicks get the number one pick, and you can take Zion, you can do it, right?
Right.
Or if Kyrie and Kevin Durant say you trade that pick for Anthony Davis, we're there.
You know what? I want Zion.
No,
want
you're
my
nuts.
Own,
you're
no,
nuts.
Not. I want my own guy. I want Zion Williamson. I don't.
You're basically saying is you wouldn't trade the number one.
You know
pick
what?
For Anthony
I'm not.
Davis,
first of all, I'm
Kevin
not
Durant.
Buying. I'm not buying Kevin Durant's coming here. I don't buy that for a second because I know
no,
better.
I'm
a Knicks fan.
You get assurances.
You know what the insurance? These assurances. The Knicks will probably stink again next year. That's the assurance that I feel. I believe none of this until I see.
But you know what else Joe probably believes, and I understand why you would?
None of it.
He accepts your offer. He says, okay, you know what? You're right. I want to win. Durant ages very quickly. He's 31. Kyrie's miserable. He wants out. He's upset that he found out the world isn't flat. And Anthony Davis is hurt. And Zion becomes the best player in the NBA.
Here, right, that's exactly right. Zion Williamson will become better than Jordan. No, he'll become better than Jordan or LeBron. All those three guys will come here, and they still won't win an NBA title. How about that? How about if that happened, Brian, and they didn't win a championship? How bad would that be? How bad would it be?
Your guys' doom and gloom
is on a whole other level, man.
1973
is a long time
and
ago,
Brian. Look around. You're in Boston.
I know.
We win, if we don't
go to the finals and win it, like people are depressed.
Right.
I know. It's so
by the way, I'm going to preface this by saying we're talking to Brian Scalabrine. We've already blown off the update.
By the way, let me just say real quick, it's WFN, WFM, FM, New York.
Dove is ticked off, but he's always is. But anyway, and even though I could not stand this guy as a player, how's Danny Ainge doing?
Good.
I'm happy to hear that. Is he with the team now? Will he be with the team tonight?
No, I think I don't know if he'll go to the game, but I texted him last night. He's like, I don't text, how many people you've had minor heart attacks, but I don't text like, hey, man, thinking of you, thoughts with you. I text like, I thought the playoffs was supposed to be about the players. What you doing getting hurt? I thought
is that
like
what
Kyrie
you did?
Irving's.
Is that what you
yeah,
did?
Yeah, yeah. I want to know about Kyrie, not you, man.
Right, right.
But, this is how I am. But
well, all my
good.
Best. You know
back.
What?
He's doing good.
Good. I'm happy to hear. All my best to Danny Ainge, even though, like I said, I could not stand him as a player. But all my best, okay. I hope he's doing okay.
And I can't stand him as a GM.
Right.
Basically took the Nets to the Cleaners. Are you kidding me?
What a pain.
So do you think, and I understand there's a little bias, and that's okay. That's okay. Do you think the Celtics win this series?
Yeah. I told you I was pretty forthcoming with my concerns, right?
Yes, but you are. You were very, yes, you were.
28-2.
Right.
Listen. If I'm Brad Stevens, I like this thing. I got a game plan. Everything is good. Like, there's no game plan for something for you letting go of the rope like that, for, you know, like the wheels falling off. 28-2, that's got to be concerning if you're a Celtics fan. I know, like, people chalk it up. No big deal. That's a big deal to me.
All
so
right. I
got you. That's all my right. concern. But I do have the Celtics winning. They're a better team.
Right.
Better team. They have like a lot of matchups they can go to, but 28-2 is a concern.
All right. Hey, Brian.
Hey, I want you guys, hey, make sure you get me on lottery day.
All right.
The day after.
No, we will. I tell you what, we will have you on the day after the lottery when the Knicks get like the fifth pick in the draft.
Hey, it'll be and so good. You know why? Because no matter what my kind of day is, I'm like, I'm better than this guy.
Get right.
It's a good way to look at it.
I like that. I like it.
Thank you, Brian.
Hey, Brian, appreciate it, man.
All right, you got it.
Brian Scalabrine does a lot of stuff with the Celtics. He also has a new podcast, Big Time Basketball.
Could you imagine? No, seriously. Could you imagine if the Knicks make that deal and they get Davis and Irving's here and Durant's here? And they don't win an NBA title?
Oh, you better.
Of course, better. They better win a couple.
Well, that's the thing about the Zion Williamson factor, even Ja Morant, too, obviously. There is that hope for the future
right.
along with the hope of today. But with Kevin Durant, you better win now.
You better win now.
Yeah, you better win
especially
now.
Especially if you got Davis, Durant, and Irving.
Yeah.
What, are you kidding me?
And I was listening a little bit to CMB yesterday, and they were talking about how Knicks fans would treat Kevin Durant. And I forget who said it, but the point of, the bar is so low. If the Knicks get to the second round, it's going to be below.
No, that's BS. Absolutely.
And the proof of that
absolutely not.
Is Carmelo. Now, I get it. The Knicks didn't have sustained success.
Right. But he's better than Carmelo.
Yeah, but he's also 5 years older than Carmelo when he came here.
No, there's no if we get to the second round, that's good enough. That's nonsense.
No. It's absolute nonsense.
This team's got to win it. And I'm not saying they got to win an NBA title this coming year. They have to win an NBA title in the very, very near future.
I've joked with a friend of mine, mainly because I'm preparing for what feels like the inevitable, and that's the fact that
right.
Kevin Durant will be my enemy very soon. And I said to him, jokingly, but sort right. of serious, and I would say it to you, what's the date where you turn on Kevin Durant? And he said, what do you mean? I said, come on.
It's going to happen.
It's going to
happen. If they don't win
he
has to win an NBA title.
And he's 31.
Right.
So it's got to happen soon.
Yes.
So in my opinion, I and we agree on this, he's got to win or else Knicks fans will inevitably
no
turn on him.
Question
there's
about
there's
it.
No, oh, but they became irrelevant.
No.
With Zion, yes.
Right.
Because there's a longer period of time to wait.
No question.
He doesn't have to win in the first 3 years.
Right, yes.
Yes, if the Knicks just end up with Zion Williamson, they don't hit in free agency, sure, there's going to be a lot of Knicks fans saying, hey, I just want to be relevant. Okay, we made the playoffs.
Right.
Okay, and you can grow. But with Durant?
No.
Oh, no. You better win.
Yep.
And the turn will be quick.
Yep.
And I think, in a way, it'll be quicker than even how quickly they turned on Melo. Think it'll be quicker.
Well, because he's better.
Because he's better and he's older, which means the clock is ticking.
No doubt. And if he's got Kyrie Irving or Anthony Davis with him, well, you know.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.